Part 2, the No 2020 Hindsight Rule. What was not available to the officers when Graham was initially stopped, handcuffed, and put in the cruiser was the report from the officer who returned to the store. You know, nothing was amiss. But using that information to judge Connor could violate the No 2020 Hindsight Rule. The No 2020 Hindsight Rule probably worked to Officer Connor's advantage in this case. But what if Connor had learned the next day that Graham had a violent criminal record? Considering that information would also violate the rule. Officers are judged based on the facts that are reasonably known to them at the time and not based on 20/20 hindsight. Perfect answers versus range of reasonableness. The test for reasonableness under the Fourth Amendment is not capable of precise definition or mechanical application, the court stated. Allowances must be made for the fact that, you know, police officers are often forced to make split-second judgments in circumstances that are tense, uncertain, and rapidly evolving about the amount of force that is necessary in a particular situation. Obviously, there may be more than one way to effect a seizure. And while hindsight may prove one option better than another, what matters is whether the one chosen fell within the range of reasonable options. The Graham factors and reasons for using force. The court stated that whether force is reasonable requires a careful balancing of the nature of the intrusion on the suspect's liberty against the countervailing governmental interest at stake. In short, you know, what did the officer do, or what was the nature of the intrusion on the suspect's liberty? And, you know, why did the officer do it, or what was the governmental interest at stake? The Graham factors are like a checklist of possible justifications for using force. They are not a complete list, and all the factors may not apply in every case. The Graham factors are the severity of the crime at issue, whether the suspect posed an immediate threat, and whether the suspect was actively resisting or trying to evade arrest by flight. Let's look at each one of those. The severity of the crime. The severity of the crime generally refers to the reason for seizing someone in the first place. Officer Connor may have been acting under a reasonable suspicion that Graham stole something. Arrests and investigative detentions are traditional governmental reasons for seizing people. Generally, the more serious the crime at issue, the more intrusive the force may be. There may be a reasonable basis for seizing someone who is not even really suspected of any wrongdoing. Reasonable force may be used to control the movements of passengers in a car during a traffic stop, for example. When executing a warrant in a home, reasonable force may be used to detain the occupants. The operative word under the Fourth Amendment is reasonableness. Reasonableness depends on the facts. The immediacy of the threat. Whether the suspect is an immediate threat to the safety of the officers or others is generally considered the most important governmental interest for using force. The greater the threat, well, the greater the force that is reasonable. Actively resisting arrest. Resisting an arrest or other lawful seizure affects several governmental interests. It may prevent the officer from effecting arrest, investigating a crime, or executing a warrant. The Graham factors are not considered in a vacuum either. Active resistance may also pose a threat. Attempting to evade arrest by flight. Attempting to evade an arrest or other lawful seizure by flight frustrates some of the same governmental interests as resistance. Flight, especially by means of a speeding vehicle, may even pose a very, very significant threat. With the facts, the courts can determine what Graham factors apply and whether the force was objectively reasonable. This is called applying the facts to the Graham factors to determine, okay, what Graham factors are really applicable in this case. In Graham, for example, the offense at issue was possible shoplifting, and the initial intrusion at issue was the initial intrusion on his liberty was really just sitting in a car beside the road. But the intrusion on Graham's liberty, well, it became much greater. Did the governmental interest at stake also become greater? Recall that Officer Connor told the men to wait at the car, and Graham resisted that order. He got out. Other Graham factors are coming into play now, such as resistance. Add that to evidence of Graham's possible intoxication, and a reasonable officer might believe that Graham posed an immediate threat to Officer Connor, you know, to other motorists on the adjoining road, and even to maybe Graham himself. Other factors. The Graham factors are obviously not a complete list. While the lower courts have listed others, most are a subset of what is generally considered the most important factor, immediate threat to the officers or others. For example, the number of suspects versus the number of officers may affect the degree of threat. Initially, it was Officer Connor against two suspects. Also affecting the degree of threat is the size, age, condition of the suspect confronting the officer. You know, is the suspect 75 years old and frail, or is he 25, 6'2", and about 250 pounds with cauliflower ears? The duration of the action is important. Struggling with someone can be physically exhausting. Any officer would want to know a suspect's criminal or psychiatric history, too, if possible. But mental impairment, let me tell you, caution you, but mental impairment is not a green light just to use force. Shocking a man several times with an electronic control device was excessive in a situation where he had been involuntarily committed, but not committed any crime, real crime. The man in this case grabbed a post, was seated on the ground, and was surrounded by police and hospital staff. You know, this so-called static stalemate between him holding the post and the surrounding police officers, you know, it didn't create an immediate threat. Time is a factor. The court stated that the calculus for reasonableness must embody an allowance for the fact that police officers are often forced to make split-second judgments in situations that are tense, uncertain, and rapidly evolving about the amount of force that is necessary in a particular situation. A robbery suspect who reaches into his waistband, well, that guy creates some split-second decision-making for the officer. More deference should be given to the officer's decision. But not every situation requires a split-second decision. You know, again, go back to that mentally impaired man who just grabbed the post. You know, if he does not pose an immediate threat, looks to me like there's probably time to consider other less intrusive options than just shocking him several times with an electronic control device. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with part 3, Deadly Force.